Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I want to thank Don Newsom, Doug Newsom, and Seth Hendrick over at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to raise consciousness by using Hollywood and positive media. BBS Radio is a growing station with lots and lots of great things in its future, and we're very grateful to be a part of it. I have with me this evening a wonderful voice for women, for men, for children, for the future, for what's going on with you right now, for the economy, for everything. And this is one of the stars of The Secret, and she's one of the female voices from the film and book, Marcy Shymoff. And she has a book come out in paperback, which was out in hardcover last year. Now it's out in paperback, called Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, which is a number one New York Times best-selling book, and it was just a runaway hit the minute it came out, and I believe that the economy had something to do with that, because tonight's topic is being happy for no reason in these economic times. And a little bit about Marcy is that she is the woman's face behind the biggest self-help book phenomenon in history, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Marcy Shymoff is one of the best-selling female nonfiction authors of all time, selling more than 13 million copies in 33 languages. She is also a featured teacher in the international film and book sensation, The Secret. Her new book, Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, offers a revolutionary approach to experiencing deep and lasting happiness. It immediately soared to number one on many bestseller lists nationwide and debuted at number two on the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal bestseller lists. A celebrated transformational leader and one of the nation's leading experts on happiness, success, and the law of attraction, Marcy inspires millions of people around the world, sharing their breakthrough methods for personal fulfillment and professional success. Marcy earned her MBA from UCLA, and she's also a holder of an advanced certificate as a stress management consultant. And boy, do we need that in this day and time. So without further ado, I will give you Marcy's website. It's just simply the name of her book, www.happyfornoreason.com. That's happyfornoreason.com. And Marcy, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy for a great reason to get to be with you tonight, Kate. I just love what you're doing and just a joy to be part of this.
Thank you so much for making time, Marcy. I know that you are absolutely all over the place, and you've been on over 500 national or regional television and radio shows, including The Today Show, The Big Idea with Donny Deutsch, The Montel Williams Show, MSNBC, and National Public Radio. And you've been interviewed for over 100 newspaper articles, with your writings appearing in national women's magazines, including Ladies Home Journal, Body and Spirit Magazine, and Woman's World. So I don't know how you have time to write books, but you are truly an inspiration to me.
Thank you. It's been quite remarkable to see the response that people have to happiness. Mm. You know, we have such an epidemic of unhappiness in our society these days that I think more than ever we need this message.
Yes.
You know, especially with what's going on with the economy and all. We need to learn how to be happy from the inside out, which is what Happy for No Reason is about.
Yes, and I have a saying. It goes like this: if you don't go within, you're going to go without.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote you with that. That's
please
a great
do.
Saying.
Yeah, please do, because it's really so, so true. And if you don't get in touch with your own self and what it is that your thoughts are telling you about you, if you do not go inside and attract what you want on the outside by starting on the inside and learning to become your own beloved, I believe that you would agree with that, that becoming your own beloved will completely align you to your source and have you attract your heart's desire almost effortlessly when you become your own beloved.
Well, you are absolutely right, and you are a great example of that. Really, I want to... do people know? May I congratulate you on what's happening this week?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Congratulations. I understand you're getting married this weekend, and you really, you know, I think you were the great example of making yourself your own beloved, and from that drawing and attracting your beloved in John. So.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I spent 2 years becoming my own beloved because I knew whatever I was bringing to relationships, I was responsible for at least half of it, and I knew my half of it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So I just went inside and completely feng shuied my innards and my bedroom, and I just didn't date for 2 years, and I made sure I bought myself flowers and took myself to dinner and put the nicest sheets on my bed. And I think I told you this before. I also tied up my camel, which there's a saying,
yes.
Pray to Allah, but tie up your camel.
I love that saying. Yeah. What did you do to tie up your camel?
I tied up my camel by going to Macy's and getting a blue velvet Tommy Hilfiger gorgeous men's robe with matching blue slippers.
Oh.
And I took a month to go sniff every fragrance for men that I could because I burned out my nose so quick every time I went. So I took a month to find the perfect scent that I would want my sacred partner to smell like for the rest of my days. And it was Givenchy, and I spritzed a little of that over my bed before I went to sleep every night. I put the house slippers under my bed and the robe in the closet. And a year after I did that, and a year before that, I had started becoming my own beloved, thought of the robe and slippers and cologne a year after that, then feng shuied my home to attract a wonderful emotional vibrational match to me where I could have a high-frequency mental orgasm at all times, which has nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with understanding what's really important beyond the physical. And a year after that, I attracted my beloved, John, my other beloved. I was my first one. And when it became appropriate to do so, he tried on the robe and the slippers. They fit perfectly, and the slippers are a size 9, and that's not your average men's shoe size, and they fit perfectly, and I didn't even care about the size. The robe fit perfectly. He's been through 2 bottles of the cologne. He calls it Manifesto Man. And
great.
And I found my Cinderfella. So,
oh, I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and we met at a Mike Dooley seminar after I had Mike Dooley on the radio show, and it was through wearing cuckoo nuts that my client made me cuckoo nuts with her own 2 hands, and I wore them for a year. And John had gotten his from the Billionaire Boot Camp with Chris Howard in Hawaii, and he'd been wearing his for a year. We end up at the Mike Dooley seminar together, both wearing cuckoo nuts, and I walk in, and I'm like, I have seen nobody wearing cuckoo nuts in L.A. I must know who that is. And I wasn't talking to men. I didn't do that because I wasn't dating, but I did this time. And I said, hi, my name's Kate Romero, and I have to know who you are because you were in cuckoo nuts. And he told me his name, his first name, not the last. And he said, did you go to the Billionaire Boot Camp? And I said, what's that? And he just totally blew me off. And the next morning I had breakfast with Mike Dooley, and I said, how can I get Rhonda Byrne for my radio show because it's perfect for Spiritual Hollywood? He goes, oh, she has a publicist. Call Joe Vitale's secretary, Suzanne. She'll give you the information. So I did that right away. I got the information. I went, oh, it's local. That's great. So I call the number cold, and I say, hi, this is Katie Romero, talk show host of Spiritual Hollywood. I just had Mike Dooley on my show, and he said, oh, really? I was just at Mike Dooley's seminar. And I said, you were? Well, maybe you saw me because I was there. I had on a brown beret. He said, yeah, I saw you. I was the guy in the cuckoo nuts.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is so great. I love it when that happens.
It was meant to be, and there was no way we could avoid it. And then we kept running into each other at different seminars, you know, every other month until we finally met for coffee and became brother and sister so fast that, I mean, it was like he was the brother I always wished I had. Mm-hmm. And I even told my ex-husband, I said, this guy is like the most wonderful brother. He would never hit on me in a million years, and I know it, and I feel so safe with him. And he said, that's so great, Katie. You deserve to have a male friendship like that. And then after lots and lots of going to functions together and being friends and platonic friends, and I knew all his stuff. He knew all my stuff. I was helping him with all his relationships. He was helping me with my stuff. And so I went to this gratitude dinner with him one night. And then at the end of the gratitude dinner, when he took me back to my car after we carpooled, he said, I have to tell you something. And I went, what? You know, you could tell me anything. He said, I don't know how to tell you this. And I was like, come on, you could tell me anything. Please, just say it. If you knew what it was or how to do it, just do it. Act like you know how. And he goes, okay, I'm charmed and enchanted by you. And I said, What does that mean? He said, it means I want to carry your books for you. I want to provide for you. I want to take care of your feelings, and I want to be your sacred partner. And I said, okay, what's a sacred partner? And he said, I want to be your boyfriend. And I was like a deer in the headlights, not knowing what to think about that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my brother. And I couldn't stop smiling until now we're getting married this Sunday. So been a couple of years, and oh my gosh, Marcy, I'm just so blessed.
What a great story.
And you have a great story about how you met your husband.
I do. But I love, there are no mistakes. The universe is just amazing in the magic and the way that it all works. And
you just never
know.
You don't know what's coming for you. You just don't. And it's best not to give up before the miracle. And I wasn't looking for any mate, no physical mate. And like I said, I tied up my camel anyway. And I just was going to be happy being girlfriend to the universe and raising consciousness solo, you know, by myself and just whatever called me forth. And I wasn't looking, and I was hootless about it. So
yeah, you know, that's the thing, being hootless about it. I love that.
Uh-huh.
What the key, I think, is you just decided to be happy anyway.
Yes.
And that's it. That's what does it. And I mean, I have a similar story. Shall I?
Yes, yes.
Can I share my story? I was 41 and had never been married.
Mm.
And I had had wonderful relationships, but I just knew they weren't the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, this is a spiritual show, so I can tell the real esoteric version of the story that I never, ever tell on air, but I'll tell it.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I don't think I've ever told this story on an interview.
Mm-hmm.
But I consider you a friend, and everyone who's listening, you're my friends now, because you're going to hear the real story.
Wonderful.
A year before I had met my husband, I had been working on Chicken Soup for the Singles Soul.
Mm.
And I had always really resented being single. I'd always wanted to be married. And I realized in working on that book, all the stories we got were from people who were resenting being single.
Mm.
And I thought, well, this is not a good place from which to attract a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a decision that I was going to forget about finding my mate, and I was going to just go about the business of making myself happy,
mm-hmm.
of doing whatever it took to really become who I wanted to be, regardless of a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire year that I was working on that book, I kept saying the whole year, as soon as I'm done with this book, that I'm done being single. And it was just sort of an inner knowing. It wasn't coming from a needy place at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about 6 months into writing that book, I went to an Indian palm leaf reader. They're a Vedic astrologer that reads these leaves that theoretically have sort of your destiny on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me a number of things that were extremely accurate, so he had my attention.
Right.
And then he told me that I asked him about the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Curious. And he said, over the next few months, you'll meet one man right after another. There will be three of them. They'll kind of be back to back. And they'll all be foreign, and none of them is your partner.
Mm.
And I said, oh, that's impossible. I never, ever meet one man, one eligible man right after another. I always wait years in between meeting eligible men. He said, no, it'll happen one right after another. And he said,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll meet the fourth man, and he's your mate. And let me describe him to you so you'll know him. He'll have dark hair and a mustache. He'll be Mediterranean, born and raised in Italy. He'll be working as a counselor or therapist with people. He will love dance and music, and he will be 6 years younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
At which point I said, that's impossible. I never date younger men. He said, I can't help it. He's your destiny.
Mm.
Well, over the next month, I, in fact, did meet three foreign men back to back. None of them were it. But they all became very good friends. And then a couple months after that, now remember, I had said, as soon as my book is out, that's it, I'm done being single.
Mm-hmm.
My book came out September 15th, 1999. The next day, September 16th, I met Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
And Sergio is dark hair and a mustache, born and raised in Italy, is a psychotherapist, loves dance and music, and is 6 years younger than I am.
I have God bumps on my kneecaps.
It's just quite amazing.
That's so wonderful. Wow, thanks for sharing that. I'm smiling so big I can hardly talk.
Oh, well, it's really, you know, and it happens in little ways. I mean, today, honestly, I was talking to my assistant out of the blue. We were talking about vitamin D.
Yes.
And how vitamin D, I wanted to look into the research into vitamin D, and I wanted her to try to find the best information there was about how vitamin D affects happiness, because there's a lot of information about it out. 15 minutes later, I get a phone call out of the blue from a doctor who is wanting to know my experience with my literary agent. He's thinking of working with my literary agent, and who I think the world of.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just doing a reference check. Turns out he's the number one vitamin D expert doctor in the country. And I shared with him my information, and then he proceeded to go on and give me a 10-minute consultation all about vitamin D, everything I wanted to ask.
Fantastic.
So it's just miracles.
Well, you know what? The more you become your own beloved and the more you go inside and work on the happiness internally, like what we mean by that, I believe that you're saying is that the more we do what makes us happy personally and to just really do what pleases us and wake up in the morning, let your left foot be the word thank and the right foot be the word you until you get your teeth brushed or something at least.
Yep.
Start with gratitude and be thankful for whatever's going on in your life and whatever isn't going on in your life, and put the hardest thing in your life, the biggest challenge you're going through at that time, on the top of your gratitude list. And all of a sudden, you will get out of your own way and get into the flow. And when you get into the flow and connect to source like that, you are attracting like a magnet every single thing that gratitude can bring into you, which is a very, very high vibrational frequency. And when you get in that sense of gratitude for whatever's there and whatever is not there, of just making yourself happy, bringing happy to the party, and knowing that no one else can make you happy, that only you can do that, that's when you start attracting your cosmic FedEx.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, the thing that I would love to add to that is that, you know, I like to take this happiness. The reason I wrote a book called Happy for No Reason is that a lot of people are talking about creating happiness for good reason, creating the right circumstances in life,
mm-hmm.
and creating things that bring us pleasure, which I'm all about that. I totally am all for that. And I want to take it a step further in becoming happy for no reason,
mm-hmm.
which I define as creating an inner state of peace and well-being that doesn't depend on our circumstances.
Right.
And so even when you are doing things that you might not be at the top of your I want to do list,
mm-hmm.
that still you're carrying with you this inner sense of peace and well-being, so that everything, no matter what it looks like, is all is well in your universe.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't all have to look or feel great in order for you to be great. In other words, what I say is that people who are happy for no reason don't look to extract their happiness from their life events or experiences,
mm-hmm.
but rather they bring their happiness to their life events and circumstances.
Yes, yes, and that's a wonderful, wonderful way to look at it. And I also would like to ask you a bit about your comments of don't believe everything you think, because
yes.
that's really, really important in getting to the place of inner peace.
It really is. You know, they say that we have 60,000 thoughts a day,
mm-hmm.
and that 80% of them are negative.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this thing called, I call it the Velcro Teflon syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that the negative, we just Velcro to us. They stick to us like Velcro.
Mm-hmm.
The positives just slide off of us like Teflon. So let me give you an example. Most people, if they hear 10 compliments in a day and one criticism,
mm-hmm.
what do they remember at the end of the day?
The criticism.
That's right. They've Velcroed the negative to them.
Mm.
What I found is that people who are happy, deeply happy, have learned to reverse that syndrome. They Teflon the negative. They've learned tools or techniques to help release those negative thought patterns, and they're wonderful tools out there, and I know you know of them, Kate. I write about a number of them in Happy for No Reason. I like using the Sedona Method and the Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT.
Success Principles by Jack Canfield are awesome, too.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Jack is my mentor and my dear friend in life, and I absolutely think his work in the Success Principles is really just...
It's amazing.
It's
and
a
even
stellar
Dr.
book,
Better.
Not to use your new last name, but it's a stellar book.
Yes, and I have a Katie-ism, something that I like to bring to my thoughts, and as you do find inner peace, what you start noticing in your life is the things that used to upset you for days at a time would only upset you for an hour at a time. You start noticing your upsets don't last as long,
right. And
that's when you know that you're off and running and that you're on your pathway to inner peace. And I've gotten to the point where no matter what is happening, Marcy, I mean, it's, you know, my last year with John, I mean, both of us have been through enough things that I don't know of people married 10 years that have been through what we've been through in 1 year. And what we've done with every single thing that's come at us is we've asked, what's perfect about this? And we look then for what's perfect about this, and as soon as we find it, I'll be darned if it doesn't transform.
Well, you know, that is such a great point that you make because, you know, when I was putting together Happy for No Reason, I did a lot of the research that was out there on happiness. I went through all of the research out there, but I also wanted to do my own research. And I interviewed 100 unconditionally happy people. I call them my happy 100.
Where do they live? Do they live all in the same area?
Oh, they're all over the place. They're all over the world. Actually, now it's grown to 1,000. So, but it doesn't sound as good to call them my happy 1,000. You would be one of them, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
But one of the things that I found about my happy 100 is that they all felt that the universe was out to support them. They're what Jack Canfield would call being an inverse paranoid. Instead of the world being out to get them, the world is out to support them. And you know, there's a saying by Einstein that the most important question that you can ask yourself is this a friendly universe? And what I found is that my happy 100 all said, oh yes, this is a friendly universe. And even though things may not be going the way I want them to go or I think they should be going, I still believe that this is a friendly universe and that the universe is out to support me. So I'm going to look for the lesson and the gift in this situation. And here's a question that I tell people to ask. If you're in a situation that's challenging to you, that it's not what you think you wanted, ask yourself the question, if this were happening for a higher purpose, what would that purpose be? It's very much like what you said you and John did. You know, what is perfect about this? It's the same idea. If this were happening for a higher purpose, what is the purpose in it for you?
Right, right. That's wonderful. And there's another thing that I put up on a post-it on my bathroom mirror when I was becoming my own beloved, and that is I ask myself every morning, how is the world out to do me good today?
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it used to be, how is the world out to mess with me today? I mean, there were times where I was just like going, what's happening? And that's why I went inside, because I knew if I didn't go within, I was going to go without. And it was the smartest thing I ever did, and it was the hardest thing I ever did, and it was the most worthwhile thing I ever did. And to start with, you know, how is the world out to do me good today, was it just tickled my insides to say it, because it was so contrary to what's out there and the way that we're trained socially to think.
And so what would it look like when you would say, how is the world out to do me good today? What would be some of the answers?
Some of the answers would be the next phone call I got, if somebody's complaining about something, I have an opportunity to show them some good part of themselves that they were overlooking. Or things like that. You know, where
so you
would just
basically look then throughout your day for how the world was out to do you good.
Of course, because I set myself to do it.
Great.
Yeah, and even if I had a flat tire, I knew within an inch of my life that it had saved me from an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew it.
Fabulous.
And I still know it. Whatever it is, whatever time I get wherever I'm supposed to be is the time I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Being late for lunch is no reason to die.
Right.
So, you know, I've really, this is years and years and years of working on myself and harnessing negative thoughts and stalking my thoughts. because, you know, you what you think about, you do bring about, and when it's in your head, it's going to manifest in your reality, so you might as well make it something you can live with.
Right, right.
So, and that's what don't believe everything you think is a really great thing to focus on in Happy for No Reason. So when you wrote this book, Marcy, when you the topic of questioning your thoughts, what kind of questions did you ask your own thoughts?
Well, I was very fortunate to have met Byron Katie, and you are probably familiar
yes.
with Byron Katie's work.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are not, Katie, she goes by Katie,
uh-huh.
one of the people that I interviewed for Happy for No Reason. She is truly just a beautiful example of being happy for no reason, of loving what is, which is the title of one of her books, Loving What Is.
Mm-hmm.
And she, her story is so inspiring because 20 years ago, she was absolutely miserable. I mean, she her self-esteem was so bad that she would not even feel that she was worthy of sleeping on a bed.
Mm.
So she would sleep on the floor, not because she had to. I mean, she had a bed, but she didn't feel worthy of sleeping in it. And she would go, she'd say she was so depressed, she would go a week or two without bathing or brushing her teeth or, you know, just that very deep depression.
Wow.
And one morning she found herself waking up in a halfway house, and there was a cockroach crawling across her foot. And in that moment, she had an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
She had an aha that said, you know what? It is not this cockroach or any of my circumstances that are causing my suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's my thoughts about them that are causing my suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned in that to start questioning her thoughts. And in the process of questioning her thoughts, they would one by one just they would dissolve until she realized that all is perfect. So she honestly lives in a state of loving whatever is, and she's been through some amazing things that none of us would want to particularly go through, and she is just in a state of love. And so the process that she uses to question your thoughts is a very simple process of asking yourself four questions, and I've got them. They're on her website, which is thework.com, or they're in Happy for No Reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions are, if you write down a belief that you might have, like, you know, I think my husband should be nicer to me, and then you just ask yourself, is that true? Is question number one. Question number two is, can I know that that's true? Question number three is, who am I when I think that thought? What happens to me when I think that thought?
You know,
I'm miserable. I'm contracted. I'm not very nice. And then the fourth question is, who would I be without that thought?
Mm.
You know, I would be free. I would feel, you know, nicer back or whatever the answer is. And then she asks, you do a turnaround statement. And the turnaround statement is often the opposite of what you've just said, or it brings you into the picture. So, for example, my husband should be nicer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a turnaround statement is, I should be nicer to me.
Yep.
And then you look at how true is that. And just, it sounds so simple, and like, how could that possibly have an effect on your life? But I have seen thousands and thousands, I mean, I know there are thousands and thousands of people in the world who have had miraculous results from using the work of Byron Katie.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing is that we live in a time where there are these beautiful tools or techniques, technologies available for us. And some people will resonate with some of them, like the work of Byron Katie. Some people will resonate with others, like the Sedona Method or Emotional Freedom Technique or any of a number of other tools and techniques out there. And what I did is I wanted to bring all the best of them together, and I put them in Happy for No Reason, and I'll let people just experiment with each and see what really resonates for you.
Well, I love that, because you're taking the best of the best and offering the readers a choice on what concept works best for them. And I know in my knower place that was divinely given to you to do in this book, to make it your own fingerprint and your own unique musing, for lack of a better term. And the one thing that you said, I wrote it down when you said it, who would I be without that thought?
Yeah.
Is so powerful. If you just had that posted somewhere, put it in your wallet, put it in your pocket, put it somewhere where you forget that you have it, and then find it right when you need it, and ask yourself, who would I be without that thought? and oh my gosh, I mean, your thoughts can beat the bejeebies out of you, and we don't even know we're letting them do that to us.
And really, all thoughts are just old neural pathways that were formed in the brain at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have a thought doesn't mean that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that alone can help disentangle you from the power that those thoughts have over us.
Yes, and it can also reconfigure your neural pathways,
right,
as you go inside and seek inner peace by these wonderful steps that you're providing and Happy for No Reason. And, you know, it's. I recommend that anyone who hasn't heard of this book, run, don't walk, and pick up a copy. And is it available on your website?
Well, it is. And, in fact, on my website I've got some amazing tools. My dear friends in the transformational world, like Jack Canfield and Michael Beckwith and so many others, Deepak Chopra and others, have offered bonus gifts for people when you buy Happy for No Reason. We also have on my website, which is just happyfornoreason.com,
mm-hmm,
some online tools that you can use for free to help you eliminate, like one, for example, that I just love. It's designed by Morty Lefko.
I know Morty.
Morty and Shelley Lefko, aren't
yes,
they great?
Yes, they are.
Well, they have designed a process called the Lefko Technique,
mm-hmm,
the Lefko Method,
mm-hmm,
and it allows you to take a belief that is blocking you from your happiness, and very simply, they walk you through an online procedure to help eliminate that belief that is the number one belief blocking you from happiness. So I've got that on the website. It's free.
I did that process, by the way.
Oh, great. And how did it work? Tell me
your
results.
We were considering them as a Stellar client because, you know, we Stellar Communications is a public relations company,
yes,
that helped launch The Secret. And I said, I want to try this technique myself. So I went on and I tried it. They gave you four choices of what to let go of. I
right,
didn't really bring my own stuff to it. I just chose something that felt the most like what I was feeling that they were offering. And I went through the entire process, and within a half an hour, when I first started, the thought I was trying to give up or endeavoring to give up had me in tears. I couldn't even choke it out of me when I said it. It has you say it back to yourself. It has it say it back to yourself, this negative belief about yourself. And as I went through the process, by the end of the process, Marcy, I was giggling about how silly it was that I ever felt like that,
mm,
without judging myself. I mean, I was just going, it's just amazing. So,
isn't that great?
Yeah.
I did a session as well, and I had an amazing result the next morning. I probably did it at 9 o'clock at night, went to sleep. The next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, I get a call. And my publisher is wanting to buy my next book. They'd had this proposal for a month.
Wow.
And they called with just exactly what I was wanting, and I'm started work. This was just a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. In fact, we'll definitely want to interview you and John for the book, because the next book is called Love for No Reason. And it's on unconditional love.
That's awesome. And boy, let me tell you, we've never had this kind of a relationship, either one of us, in our whole lives. And it's incredible. We call it an upward spiral, where we set each other up to win.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'd written an article before I met John, or actually 2 months before we had our first coffee meeting, called No Sex in the City. Because, as I said, what I wanted to, you know, attract to myself was an emotional vibrational match to me, which is beyond physical. And when you get to that place, everything else is just wonderful, too. It's life being holographic.
Right.
And so after I wrote that article, here comes this guy I think is going to be my brother for the rest of my life. And it turns out that he was my emotional vibrational match. And then after we started dating, I let him read that article. He said it changed his life completely, because I had written down before we got in a relationship exactly who he is, and we have that, and we're living that. So there is a template that we're developing on purpose, and we're writing a book together called Transforming Hell, and that is designed to bring awareness and end child abuse. Because even as grown-ups with negative thinkings, we abuse ourselves so much by being victims of our circumstances and not asking ourselves, because we don't know better, about what's perfect, about what's going on in your life. There's a lot of people who don't even have a concept of ever asking that question about a challenge they're going through. So we want to make this book for people who don't know what's available, to show them what is available. For people who are saying, I'm going through hell, well, we're transforming it. So
beautiful.
Yeah, so we would be completely honored to be interviewed for your book.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're living an incredible, extraordinary life.
I'm so... Have you and John been on the air together? Have you interviewed him?
I have, on a TV show called Spiritually Speaking, back when he was my brother. I think that's one of the times he started falling in love with me, because he said he was counting my freckles on my legs and loving each one of them.
Oh, well, I think you two need to do a show together,
yeah,
after you're married, and
yes,
just inspire everyone out there about,
yeah, yeah,
drawing in their soulmates.
I believe that, and being that we met through The Secret, we're coming full circle by having Reverend Michael Beckwith marry us on Sunday.
Oh, fantastic. At Agape?
At Agape.
Oh, I was down there this weekend. I'm so sorry I won't be there on Sunday. I would go. Which service?
We were there with seeing Lisa Nichols at 11 o'clock.
I'm sorry?
At 11 o'clock to see Lisa Nichols.
You mean this last Sunday?
Yes.
Lisa was speaking?
Yes.
Oh, I can't believe it. I would have been there. I was in L.A. and I didn't even know.
Oh, boy. Wow. I
bet it was fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be incredible. And they have practitioners all around the sanctuary holding the space for every single service. And with that kind of energetic field going on, being everything is energy, I just know that the frequency is going to go off the charts and it's going to be felt around the world, because every single one of us has the power to raise the frequency on the planet individually and collectively even more so.
Oh, well, now is the time. There is no question that we are in the midst of this transformation.
Yep. And
this is happening now, and we're it. Everyone who is listening to this show right now,
yep,
is part of the transformation.
We're all in it together. And Reverend Michael, when we had our meeting with him on Thursday about our wedding, he did the math, the numerology, and he said that March 22nd, 2009 turns out to be a number 9, which is the completion of mine and John's past for a new beginning.
Oh, beautiful. And it's the first day of spring.
Yes.
The second day of spring.
It's all so divine. And
so for people in LA, will you repeat again what's happening at 11 o'clock this coming Sunday, March 22nd?
Uh-huh.
At Agape Church during the normal 11 a.m. service?
Yeah.
Where Michael will be
marrying
presiding.
It'll be maybe the fastest wedding on the planet, because it's during service, and that's fine because John and I are already married in our hearts.
I love this.
Ever.
Well, I will tune in with you and send you my love at that time and be thinking of you. How beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll send pictures.
Great.
It'll be great. And, you know, we'll have our kids there and everything, and we have a blended family. And
yeah.
We're just so privileged to be able to get to shepherd the children ages 9, 13, and 26 through spiritual parenting and conscious parenting. And, you know, with the family unit, we're also creating a template of upward spiral, setting one another up to win in our family as well, where everything we do when we interact with one another is toward that means and that goal, is upward spiral and setting one another up to win. And, you know, I'm just looking to start with our family and then have the whole world be like that.
I love that. Well, that's totally where it starts.
Right. And
yeah,
this book that you've written, Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out, is such a wonderful tool for people to, all they have to do is sit and read it, and they'll go through all kinds of phases of emotions that they forgot they even had or didn't even know they had. They will start feeling, because they'll begin to come alive as they read your book.
Well, what I really wanted to do in the book was not just give the information about happiness, which it's in there, and the research for people who like that stuff, but, you know, because my background is chicken soup for the soul, I know how powerful stories are. So I have 21 happiness habits, and with each habit, I tell a story from one of my happy hundreds that's very moving about how they've used that habit. And then I think the most important part is, with each habit, I also have a tool that you can use to make it act really alive in your own life. And
that
was, you know, what was so fulfilling is that the book came out in hardback last year, just came out in paperback last week, and went onto the New York Times bestseller list the first week out, so I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah.
In fact, I have Reverend Michael Beckwith's story in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've gotten has been amazing. I've had letters from around the world, because now it's in 30 languages, people telling me everything from, I was going to commit suicide, and I read this, and I started doing some of the things in here, and my life has totally turned around.
Mm-hmm.
To people who have said to me, Marcy, you know, I was already really happy, and I just read your book because I was curious. I wanted to know what you had to say, and I started doing some of the things in there, and I'm even happier now. So it doesn't matter where you're starting on the happiness continuum or happiness scale. Wherever you are, you can raise your happiness level.
Right, right. And what I'm also would like to talk to you about a little bit, because it's something really fun to think about, is reversing your aging process by tuning into your body.
Yes. Well, first of all, the research shows that people who are happy live on average 9 years longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're one-third less likely to get sick. And happiness does, in fact, reverse your aging process.
Well, yeah, Norman Cousins cured himself from cancer by using
laughter. Right, exactly, exactly. And there's so much research about the neurochemistry of happiness, about serotonin and endorphins and oxytocin.
Yes.
And, you know, simple things like they found that the amount of sleep or the quality of sleep that you got last night has more to do with your happiness today than your marital status or your income level.
Right.
That just our physiology, just the value of our sleep. And here's a little tip. Every hour of sleep that you get before midnight is worth twice as much as the sleep that you get after midnight.
Hmm.
So, for example, if you go to sleep by 10, the hours between 10 and midnight are much more potent and important than the hours after midnight. It has to do with your circadian cycles, or in Ayurveda, it has to do with going to sleep before you reach the pitta hour, when you're overly active. And so just simple things that you can adjust, various amino acids that you can take to help raise your levels of neurotransmitters that relate to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the more you take a whole mind, body, heart, and soul approach, the better off you are.
Yes.
And in fact, let me tell you, may I tell you a quick story that I just recently heard?
Please.
I was attending a lecture of Angelus Arian, who I love. She's a cultural anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
And she has studied the wisdom of indigenous cultures around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that she said is very a common thread amongst all these cultures, is if somebody is feeling unhappy or gets depressed, they go to the local medicine man or shaman or medicine woman or shaman. And rather than having them prescribe an antidepressant, the shaman will ask them four questions. And these are the four questions. When did you stop singing? When did you stop dancing or moving your body?
Mm-hmm.
When did you stop telling your story or sharing? And when did you stop taking time for silence?
Mm.
Because they knew that you need those four things in order to feel happy. And I believe we need those four things every day. And let me just repeat what those are.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is singing. And I really mean singing. I mean standing in the shower and vocalizing.
Mm-hmm.
It gets the breath going, and it really helps get your chemicals, your cells, it wakes up your cells and gets them happy.
Mm-hmm.
A second one is moving your body. We've got to move our bodies. We've got to get the energy flowing, you know, dancing. I just recently took up Zumba.
Wow.
Which is a fabulous dance class that I'm taking. And I stand in that class with a grin from ear to ear for an entire hour. And I'm working my butt off, but I am just smiling and happy. Now, it doesn't hurt that the dance instructor is a very gorgeous man. but it's just that dancing. And then the third thing is sharing your story, having people to connect with, bonding with people. And then the fourth thing is every day taking some time for silence.
Mm.
So I think we all need those four ingredients.
Mm-hmm. We do those things, and one thing we add to that is we definitely get out in nature.
Oh, fantastic.
And the oh my gosh, talk about rebooting us. It so does rebooting us. It's just to get out in nature and smell the fresh air. And we have this wonderful, wonderful park. It's on Coldwater at Mulholland. Mm-hmm. Everybody who knows Los Angeles, it's called Franklin Canyon, and we call it our national park. It is worthy of driving 5 or 6 hours to get to, yet it's only 10 minutes away. And we go there several times a week and take our kids and have picnics every time we go and play chess. And it's just a beautiful, wonderful hideaway that's just really recharges us in a major way. And I can't say enough about getting out in nature and just being with it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And in fact, I was asking, I was having a conversation a couple months ago with Michael Beckwith.
Great.
About his routine, his daily routine. Because, you know, raising your happiness level really amounts to nothing more than your daily habits.
Mm-hmm.
Changing your daily habits to support your happiness. So I said, what's your day like? And he wakes up first thing in the morning, and first thing out of his mouth or in his mind is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Just being grateful for the day. And he gets up, brushes his teeth, then he immediately goes outside in bare feet and puts his feet on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Connects in with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And feels grounded, feels that support of the earth. And I loved that. And I have to confess that I haven't started doing that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what I'm going to do is just make a little commitment right now to start doing that. Now, I'm on very, very early morning interviews these days, so I probably won't do it at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
But sometime before my day gets too far along, I want to just go outside and plant my feet in nature.
That's a very good idea. It really is.
So,
that's
habits,
wonderful.
Just simple little habits. And I suggest that people pick one habit. Take 5 minutes out of your day every day to pick a habit. Do that habit for a week. And then pick another habit and do that for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And just see. Just use your life as an experiment and see in a month if your life doesn't feel different.
Oh, it'll feel different in a day.
Right.
I mean, you know, as long as there's some willingness there.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that life is self-perpetuating. Happiness is self-perpetuating.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start doing something for yourself, it becomes easier and easier because you start feeling better and better, and you want to keep doing better things for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And then I do notice that if I'm really going gung-ho on this wonderful new habit I've developed in my life is in such transformation because of it, if I, you know, for some reason can't do it for a couple of days, I find that it's very hard to start again.
Yeah.
For some reason. And I guess that's just natural human condition resistance to, you know, because it takes a lot of courage to choose happiness. It really does, because it's so easy to slip into the collective consciousness of negativity about, you know, people who watch the news and have to put the news down. I just don't happen to watch it. I don't know what's going on out there, and I figure if I'm supposed to know something, it'll come to me one way or the other in an email, or someone will call me. And, you know, the economy being what it is, I have no idea what's going on with that. I am just holding the vision and the space for it to be perfect and nothing but pure expansion. And I don't allow it into my space. And I do have compassion and empathy for those who are suffering and letting it tell them how to feel. And I believe that people really need you right now, Marcy, and this book, Happy for No Reason, to help get them through this. And, you know, when there is a crisis or what feels like a crisis, people don't realize that in the chaos there's opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people, in a crisis, that's when they become their greater self. That's when, you know, they're mopped into a corner, they're going to come out swinging. And there's a phrase that we all have heard, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And crisis is actually a wonderful opportunity, like the sequoia trees. They cannot even multiply unless there's a fire to cause the seeds to pop open.
Right.
So it's such a metaphor for life. And those challenges that we're going through, we can find a way to be happy about those too. I mean, we're in these physical bodies. It's like, woohoo, all right. You know, you look down, you see your feet, you see your body, you're out there with other people. It's like, it's a wonderful opportunity, and we sort of take for granted that we're in these physical bodies and that we chose to be here. And what is our purpose? It's like, get to it, find that purpose, and your happiness won't be far away.
Right, right. And I think what's happening is what's happening in the world is a wake-up call.
Totally.
It's the alarm that's allowing us to move from it to reevaluate what's really important in life. And I think we're seeing there will be a collective move from the value on money to the value to meaning. We're going to move from money to meaning.
I love it. That's wonderful. And for those who hear the alarm and hit the snooze button and don't get up, you're going to be left in the dust.
Yeah, it's just going to get harder. It's harder to wake up later.
Yeah.
Harder to wake up sooner.
Absolutely. And, you know, I admire every person who has heard the calling and followed it. I have a friend named Joe Nunziata, who is the author of Spiritual Selling, and we just went to hear him speak recently, and he has been through all kinds of chaos and crisis, and, you know, he was bankrupt when he was 20 and when he was 30, and all these things happened, and his father was a police officer and got murdered on the job, and he just fell out of life at age 12, and, you know, he lived in the Bronx, and he's Italian, and just wanted to fight everybody, and now he's this wonderful, wonderful spiritual man who knows every single crisis that came to him polished him into the diamond he is today. And you know, I love those kinds of stories, because truly every single thing that's happening in our life right now and all the things we're not getting that we think we want, not getting what you want sometimes is the best thing that can ever happen
yeah.
to you.
You know, the phrase, rejection is God's protection. When we don't always get what we want, it's often the greatest blessing. Rejection is God's protection.
I'm going to have to ponder that for a while. I like that.
Yeah, my agent, when she first, I sent her my first book proposal, my first round of a book proposal for this book on happiness, but it wasn't called Happy for No Reason.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, it's not, this is not the right title. This isn't the right concept. You have to go back. And at the time, I thought, oh, that's terrible. You're rejecting my proposal. She said, Marcy, rejection is God's protection. And
wow.
She was really right. I went back. I reworked the whole thing. The idea of Happy for No Reason came to me. And thank God that she initially said no. So I think we need to just reframe things dramatically.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a client named Lewis Wattman who's put together a movie about young entrepreneurs who had a vision and a dream and started when they were little kids and became millionaires before they were 30.
Yes.
And the thing about that is he is the creator of the Young Entrepreneur Society.
Yes.
Which is, there's an acronym for that. And so he tried to use that title for his film, The Young Entrepreneur Society, and a person who shall remain unnamed objected to it and wanted to file a lawsuit because he said the name was too much like their company. Mm-hmm. So Lewis was forced to shorten his title of his movie and simply now calls it the Yes Movie.
Love it.
Young Entrepreneur Society. It's an acronym. So it's such a blessing, and he was so thrilled about that, what seemed like, oh, my God, my movie can't go forward. I'm going
right.
to be sued. And then he just thought, wait a minute. I like
right.
the word yes. That's a good word.
Right. That's great. I love that. I
yeah.
love that. You know, and you mentioned something earlier, and I know it's getting close to the end of the show. I want to be able to say this little proverb because I think that it so speaks to why you're doing the work you do and I'm doing what I'm doing and
mm-hmm.
why we're all listening to this. Is I really believe that it all starts with each one of us feeling more happy inside.
Yeah.
And here's a Chinese proverb that really sums that up. It says, when there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person.
Mm-hmm.
When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. And my wish and my prayer for every one of us who's on this call is that we feel the light and love in our own souls, the happy for no reason in our own lives. And through that, we help bring more happiness, more peace, and more joy onto the planet.
Yes, and the pursuit of happiness is not only our constitutional right, it's our obligation, because that's the greatest gift we can give to the world.
It is.
It is. And Marcy, thank you so much for your beautiful heart.
So happy to be with you, and I invite everyone to come visit www.happyfornoreason.com and see what to join the happiness revolution, really.
Absolutely.
Part of this all.
And you're leading it, and what a person you are to do that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Marcy, for being here, and for the listeners for listening. And I just want to remind everybody to stand up, take a really deep breath, and love yourself, and remember the last six letters of attraction are action. So just go within so you don't have to go without anymore, and have a blessed week, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks, and good night.